Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 2, we were talking about the difference between having a group of friends and a clique. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The words "have not" here in verse 1 of chapter 2, "my brethren, have not the faith," literally mean "practice not." We believe only as much of the Bible as we practice. We do not hear sermons today against the sin of having respect of persons on the basis of what a man possesses. And yet, it's in the Bible. And it's something that is as much a sin as any other sin is condemned in the Bible. Now, by the way, having a clique in the church is not the same as having a best friend. You can have close friends. It becomes a clique when the company of one is disdained for another. It is when we refuse to allow someone to be a part of our church or socializing, or we just neglect other people because they're not in our circle. No, you can have a best friend in the church, and you can have them over your house, and you can do things together with that best friend. But understand, you don't be unfriendly and unwelcoming and uninviting to someone who is outside your circle. No, you're trying to reach these people for Christ, and it would be great to use your little circle of friends to reach these people for Christ. Again, a clique is having respect of persons. Showing partiality to a well-to-do man is here condemned as a sin, and the guilty person is convicted by God's law as being a transgressor. Now, our exhortation does not just stop here. Let's look on to verses 2 through 4, and we see the example and exhortation. In verse 2 through 4, I'll read them to you. "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Now we want to see some word definitions in these three verses that I've just read to you from James chapter 2. In verse 2 is the word assembly. It comes from the Greek word synagogue, which we get the word today of synagogue, and it designates the worship assembly of Jewish Christians, just like ecclesia in the Greek is translated church, and it is also the assembly for Gentile Christians. The word is translated church for Gentiles, but both words have the idea of assembly. The church, whether it's Jewish Christians or just Gentile Christians, or a combination of both, is a called out assembly. In verse 4, we see the word partial. It means to be divided. So as you look at that, and he says, "Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" You become divided. In chapter 1, verse 6, the same Greek word is translated wavering. And the indication here is that by partiality, they are wavering in their mind. They doubt concerning the doctrine of Christ and whosoever will. You see, they will honor the well-to-do man that comes into the assembly, but not the other guy. And so it goes against the doctrine of whosoever will. When we were really looking at this, that whosoever will come unto him, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so this is going against that very doctrine. And this is a sinful attitude that equates gain with godliness. That means the mind is divided. Isn't that the problem of the last days church, the Laodicean church, where they say to the Lord, hey, look at us. We're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. Boy, we've got numbers. We are growing. We've got great buildings. We've got everything. And the Lord says to them, well, to be honest with you, you're poor, you're blind, you're wretched, you're naked. You can't see afar off. You are miserable people. And that's the local church of the day. And it's the church that has turned to the material instead of the spiritual, that has turned to the feelings instead of the Holy Spirit as the means of salvation and dedication. Have you ever wondered why so many tools are used today? I'm not against PowerPoint presentations. I'm not against overheads, slides, giving out papers, questionnaires, and things of that nature. I've used some of these things myself. But the problem is we have come to so depend on them that if we use them, then it's called debt. All we're feeding the people because we use a questionnaire or because we use a PowerPoint presentation. Listen, that you can be giving in 100% psychology and no depth from God's Word, and they'll go out of thinking, oh, wasn't that great? Wasn't that wonderful? My friend, if they're not expositing the Word of God, if they're talking more about your feelings than they are about the glory of Christ, then my friend, you've not had the meat of God's Word. All you have had is some kind of psychological bobbycock that doesn't mean 2 cents. And unfortunately, so many think that that is the end thing, and it's really a picture of what's going on today. You see, we're depending on those things instead of the Holy Spirit. We lack the faith to trust the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to accomplish what it can accomplish. And so, unfortunately, we've started trusting in the arm of flesh, and that always takes us from the revival of the Holy Spirit. Now, we also have in verse 4 the word evil. And the Greek lexicon defines it as this: evil in a moral or spiritual sense, wicked, malicious, and mischievous. And then we have the word thoughts, the last word of verse 4. And it is defined as objectionable thoughts and directions, objectionable and doubtful reasonings and rationalizations. In the New Testament, the Greek word is used only with a negative. And so here we have in verse 4, you're then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil, that is, moral or spiritual sense of evil, wicked, malicious, and mischievous thoughts. And you're doing that instead of allowing the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, that's what happens with the sin of partiality. That's what happens when we start looking at systems and things and people and start accepting some, and then we look at other people and say, no, we don't want them to be a part of us. Now, when we're talking about people being a part of us, we're not saying accept all doctrine. No, in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, that's not what we're saying. But if you're going to preach the word of truth, you're going to preach righteousness, you're going to preach sound doctrine, then anybody that wants to be a part of that sound doctrine and righteousness and the truth of God's Word should be accepted into your fellowship. Now, as we look at these verses, it is clear that the respect of persons is incompatible with the faith, that is, the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has a remnant among all classes of people. They may wear the very best top line of the clothes, or they may wear that which is cheap and vile and shoddy clothing. In matters of faith, the rich and poor stand on level ground. Neither group is to be disdained or rejected for their financial position. Riches will not set anyone near to God, and poorness will not set anyone at a distance from God, and vice versa. Being poor will not make you near to God, and being rich does not put you at a distance from God. Respect of persons is a heinous sin, showing we are directly contrary to the mind of God. No one, my friend, has ever been worthy of salvation, this preacher included. Any saved person is a vile sinner who is saved by the grace of God. Now, this very sin may show that, in reality, you prefer the outward pomp, the flesh, over the inward grace. You prefer the things that are seen to the things that are not seen. The deformity of this sin is never truly discerned until we allow God to use our inward eyes to see the evilness of this thought and lifestyle. Now, my friend, God designed that salvation be offered and true Christian fellowship be founded upon intrinsic worth or the value of the soul rather than the external advantages of business and prestige or the social register. Being God's chosen does not keep one from being poor. Neither does it keep one from being rich. One may wonder, how can you say to anyone that comes into our church, stand over there or sit at this footstool? Well, what you must understand is that most of the New Testament churches were in homes. And the person opening up their home could tell people where to sit, much like the lady of the house will tell each person where to sit when company gets ready to gather around a table to eat. Well, the local church is very important for areas of doctrine, service, and missions. Missions of any kind and to which we're tied. The local church is very important in those things, and therefore we must start right. The local church must be right with one another if we're going to be right in doctrine, service, and missions. At one time in American history, people bought their pews for church. They'd have little doors on them, and the family would get there and sit in their pew. If someone did not own a pew, he would normally have to stand against a wall along the back or somewhere down the sides. Now, many different ones did this, different denominations. Methodists were one of them. I'm not picking on the Methodists with this. I'm using this as an example. But as a result, there was a movement within some of the Methodist churches to have seating for everyone, and they were called Free Methodists as a result. And so they were allowed to come in and sit anywhere, and people didn't buy a seat and made others stand up while they sat down and were at rest. Now, let me also say that if you have a church that's packed, have the common decency to let ladies and then senior citizens have the seats first. I think it's terrible when there's a young adult, even a middle-aged adult, let alone a teenager or child, that just insists they must sit down while some older person or lady must stand. And let's get back to good Christian manners, even if the rest of the world does not have them. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will